Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to touch on how to distribute your calories on a daily basis if your goal is to gain muscle or lose body fat. So I'll go over kind of what to do depending on what phase you're in, depending on what your training time is, and also just talk about kind of the rationale behind it. So quick update on myself. I'm currently, I think, around about 22 weeks post-show now. Training's going very smoothly. Literally hit a 4-plate deficit stiff leg deadlift earlier today, which I was really chuffed with. Not a ton to touch on, just looking a bit softer, looking a bit worse over time, but getting a bit bigger over time, which is part of the process. And you know, if your lifts are going up and your form's remaining the same, then long term that's what's going to contribute towards progress. So it's a case of looking worse to look better in the long term, which I'm fine with because I love the training aspect. So in terms of how we should distribute the calories. So first of all, what matters most is going to be calories in, calories out, meaning how much calories you're consuming in and how much calories you're consuming out. That's what's going to be most important. That's what's going to drive your progress forward the most. Not, let's say, the placement of your calories. If you eat all your calories close to bed, but you're still eating less than you're burning, you're going to lose weight. If you eat all your calories at the start of the day, but you are eating more than you're burning, you're going to gain weight. So timing's kind of irrelevant when it comes to what happens with your body weight. Can it have like effects? Definitely, but it's good to remember like the main needle mover is going to be calories in, calories out. So if you're kind of gaining very rapidly throughout a gaining phase, your placement of calories isn't an issue. It's how much calories you're consuming. But after that, distribution does matter. Obviously, it's not going to be the biggest needle mover. It's not going to be the biggest driving factor or something most important. And in terms of your priority with how you distribute your calories, it's going to be adherence. So adherence matters most more than, again, having the optimal placement. Because if something's optimal, it's no longer optimal if you can't adhere to it, if that makes sense. What's optimal is what you can adhere to over the long term. So you want to make sure what you're doing you can consistently stick to. And part of that's going to be influenced by things like hunger management. It's going to be influenced by things like enjoyment, what works for your schedule and your routine. So just make sure whatever you're doing, you can first of all stick to. So if I'm saying this certain setup works well, but for whatever reason you can't stick to it, let's say you can't adhere to sticking towards your calorie goal because it is too difficult to manage hunger, then that's not optimal for you. So make sure you can adhere to whatever you're putting in place. That is optimal. Good adherence and great adherence is what's optimal. And in terms of some influencing factors on kind of where to place your food and your calories throughout the day, it's going to be like training time, what phase you're in, and how high or low your food is. And first of all, to touch on protein intake, so what matters most with, again, protein is hitting your daily protein intake more than where you're having it in particular. That's going to be the main driving factor, just like how much calories you're consuming is going to be the main driving factor of your body weight. So you want 2 grams per kilogram of body weight, as I've touched on many times in the past. You can get away with slightly less, but there's not much downside of having a bit more, except from being a bit more of an expensive macronutrient. So with your protein distribution, it depends on your meal frequency. A good place to start is if you struggle to reach your protein goal or you're just not sure how to kind of work it out. Think about what amount of meals you want to have on a daily basis, taking into consideration your work commitments, your hunger levels, what's going to allow you to stick to it best. And also on paper, I'd say trying to get anywhere from 3 to 6 isn't a bad idea. I'd say minimum 3 if you're wanting to try and kind of get the most out of things, but ideally even 4. And the reason being is whenever we consume protein, granted we're having at least 28 grams, maybe 25 grams, we'll spike muscle protein synthesis. So if we can do that more times throughout the day, that's going to put us in an anabolic position, a position to build muscle effectively more often. In other words, put us in a positive position to grow more often throughout the day. And granted, that is spaced 2 hours apart. So if you can have, 4 meals, 5 meals instead of 3 or 2, that's on paper superior. And when I say, or not even meals, protein servings, protein feedings, so it doesn't need to be like a massive meal you're having. When I say it's a meal, it could literally just be a protein shake and some fruit or just a protein shake itself. But ideally, having multiple protein sources are a good idea. And the reason why you want it 2 to 3 hours apart is to stimulate muscle protein synthesis. It then needs to go back down to baseline after it's been stimulated to then be spiked again. If we try and spike muscle protein synthesis by consuming protein every hour, it will actually have like a blunting effect and it won't be spiked effectively. So yeah, establish how much times a day you want to eat, go for around about 2 grams per kilogram of body weight in terms of your protein. And a good way to distribute it per meal is work out your protein goal, how much times you're eating, then divide it by the number of times you're eating. For example, if your goal is 200 grams, because you maybe weigh maybe 100 kilos or just below that, it's not a bad idea being slightly above that 2 gram per kilogram. Then you know if you're eating 4 times a day, you need 50 grams per meal to hit your protein goal. Benefit knowing that is it means you're not just winging it and going meal by meal. You've actually got a plan and structure in place, and you're going to be more likely to reach your goal. So that's how I recommend kind of distributing protein. Just spread it evenly across each meal, depending on how much meals you're having, 2 to 3 hours apart. And bearing in mind what meal times will allow good adherence. As for carbohydrates, so this will kind of tie into what I touched on in the pre-workout and post-workout podcast episodes, which is why I'm following up with how to distribute your calories to kind of dive into it a bit further. So post-workout, pre-workout, and pre-bed are good places to start with your carbohydrate consumption and kind of the most important times to have them if you're in a dieting phase or a gaining phase, in my opinion. And the reason why pre-workout, so we've got enough energy to facilitate good performance so we can keep our blood sugar levels steady throughout the session. Post-workout, we want to make sure we've got carbohydrates to replenish glycogen stores. It can also improve our ability to recover and also put us in an anabolic position to build muscle. And lastly, pre-bed. The reason we want them pre-bed is it can promote good sleep quality. When we've got no carbohydrates available, cortisol will be released to basically liberate fat as an energy source. In other words, when you've got no carbs available, your body will use cortisol, stress hormone, to then get energy from fat in your body. And the problem and downside of that before bed is cortisol. When cortisol's high, the stress hormone's high, our ability to relax, switch off, sleep's going to be diminished. It's going to be poor. And as well as that, cortisol will affect our ability to produce melatonin, which is a hormone that will help us get to sleep and stay asleep. So we want to ensure that we are having carbohydrates potentially in that pre-bed meal. If you're more so, if you're in a dieting phase, I'd say, like throughout my contest prep, when my food got low, I had carbs pre-workout, post-workout, and pre-bed. When my food got very, very low, it got removed to pre-bed, but I kept in that pre-bed window as best I can or best I could for as long as I could to facilitate good sleep and good recovery and the ability to maintain performance as I got leaner. So that's the kind of three main areas I recommend having carbohydrates placed. And if you've got a sufficient amount of each meal, what says sufficient is 50 grams of carbs pre and post workout, ideally. Obviously, it depends the size of the individual, and then you could go for maybe the same pre-bed. And if you've then got a sufficient amount in those meals, you can then kind of think about adding to others. If dieting, in the ideal world, try and stick to all three for as long as possible. Again, adherence is a caveat to that, but again, sleep's super important, so you want to make sure that's not kind of compromised. And if you are in the position where you don't have the ability to kind of keep carbs in all those meals, I'd maybe consider, sometimes it's not due to giving yourself a lack of time, but consider, could you give yourself more time and or could you alternatively just work your expenditure up to cause fat loss to facilitate fat loss instead of slashing your food further? And I'm going to give kind of an example setup that I recommend doing. If you do have like a sufficient amount of carbohydrates in that pre-workout, post-workout meal and pre-bed, that's when I'd recommend adding to other meals throughout the day. And if someone's got on 5 meals, for example, let's say they're training after 4, what I'd typically do in terms of setting up someone's nutrition is I'd keep the first meal pretty carb free for as long as possible. Just because if, let's say, they've got an office job, for example, they're not training first thing, they've not got a lot of activity. If their food's not extremely high, then I'd keep that meal carb free and then place kind of carbohydrates in meal 3, meal 4, meal 5. Once those kind of meals get quite high in terms of carbohydrates, I'd then look to add carbs into that second meal. And then when food gets extremely high, let's say they're on 4,000 calories plus, maybe 4.5, struggling with their hunger, I'd then add them to that first meal. Reason why you could potentially keep your first meal carb free if you're not training after your first is some people find when they eat carbohydrates they feel sluggish. And I think it's not a bad idea placing the carbohydrates where you have the demand for energy. Like if someone's super, super sedentary and they're eating a ton of carbohydrates, again, what will matter most is your daily surplus. But If we get into the nitty-gritty, I think if someone's, let's say you've done the complete opposite and you were training after your fourth meal and then you ate all your carbs after meal one and then didn't eat much carbs for the rest of the day. Let's say all your carbs were in meal one, just an extreme example. I think over the long term, that individual's going to have worse performance, a worse body composition outcome, because we know we're more sensitive to carbohydrates around that training window when we basically stimulate muscle growth. And if someone's training after meal one, what I'd prioritize is carbohydrates pre-workout, post-workout, and then pre-bed. And then if their food is low, keep the two carb meals in between. If they're on 5 meals a day, pretty low in between. If they're eating 5 meals a day, that is. Obviously, you can kind of relate this example to if you're eating meals a bit less frequently, but I'm just going to stick to kind of the 5 meal setup, for example. And what would also ensure moving on to fats is fats distributed throughout meals where it matters most. So again, I'd have some fats pre-bed and pre-workout. They're kind of, if I had to be like, right, 2 meals, what's going to be the most important time to have fats? It's going to be in those meals. Reason behind having them pre-bed is so that you can slow down the digestion of carbohydrates, especially if someone's training first thing in the morning. It's not a bad idea having some fats in your pre-bed meal to slow down the release of those carbohydrates, because that's what they will do, slow down the digestion speed to allow you to therefore have a better ability to kind of utilize those carbohydrates when you're training in the morning. And I'd also try and have them pre-workout, depending on how close after the meal you're training, and also how high your food is and what meals it after. But usually I'd have it in that pre-workout meal. And the reason being is it'll slow down the digestion of carbohydrates again, so you've got a sustained release of energy. If someone's food extremely high and maybe they're training after 5 meals, you might not need much fat in that pre-workout meal. You want to maybe keep it minimal so that you can digest it quite fast and get a lot of food in quite fast so you don't have digestive distress throughout your session. This is where trial and error and thinking what works for you comes into play, and not just following like a cookie cutter approach. In terms of when else I'd have fat, I just kind of, when your food's getting high and you're in a gaining phase, I try and distribute it relatively evenly throughout meals, so 10 to 15 grams in each meal. Maybe even pushing it up a touch higher as well. And I'd keep fats pretty minimal post-workout, however. Because post-workout, we want to kind of uptake those carbohydrates relatively quick. We're really sensitive to carbohydrates, so it makes sense kind of consuming a lot of carbs in that meal and not consuming a lot of fats, so we uptake them fast and effectively. So yeah, post-workout, I'd keep fats pretty minimal. And if dieting, your fats need to get really low, keeping some in for hormonal function is not a bad idea. Same as supplement with omega-3. But if you need to remove them and keep them in a few meals, it would be pre-workout and post and pre-bed. I'd keep them in. I think they're the most important. And you can also consider, like, with your fat intake, like how much is needed per meal. It can also be dictated by what carbohydrate source you're having. For example, if someone's having, let's say, oats pre-bed, they may not need as much fats because fats will slow down the digestion of carbohydrates. But oats are high in fiber and they are going to take their low glycemic index carbohydrate, meaning they'll digest quite slowly. So you might not need to pair that with like a fat source. Same if you're training after having oats, for example. And it can be a good idea, like pushing fats up when gaining, if you feel like you still manage your hunger fine, you digest food fine, and you enjoy it, you feel that you can get in. Because fats are quite calorie dense, but the only caveat to that is they can slow digestion. So you want to bear that in mind, because if you have too much fats, you might find you're not hungry in time for your next meal, which could be a good reason to pull fats down or keep fats a bit lower when you're in a gaining phase. But it's about playing about with it. Find what works for you. Again, there's very little rights and wrongs and absolutes in fitness. It's about, I mean, trialing different things. There's obviously things that just on paper don't seem logical, like not having any food pre-workout, but again, someone's food's extremely high, they've trialed both, they perform better not having food pre-workout. Who am I to tell them it's wrong? So what feels good for you? Try what I've said, but don't be afraid to manipulate it. Don't be afraid to adjust it accordingly. And bear in mind, adherence matters most. Like if someone's trying to slam all their carbs pre and post-workout to maximize their progress when they're dieting, but they can't stick to their diet while they're dieting as a result of that, then that's no longer optimal. That's no longer best for them. Obviously, what I'd say is, work on your discipline, work on your adherence, think what else you can do to help yourself adhere, but also bear in mind again, adherence matters most. So hope you've enjoyed the episode. Any support on the podcast, greatly appreciated. That could include sharing it to your Instagram story and giving me a story tag at The Improvement Podcast and at Charlie J. Cuthbert. Could include liking and subscribing if you're listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube, leaving a comment or just simply leaving a rating or a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or also Spotify or whatever other platform you're listening to it on. Have a great day and thank you very much for everyone watching or listening.